O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's sermon's in two parts. Part one today, and next week you have to come along to hear the second part. I guess if there's a congregation next week, I'll know whether it's worked this week or not. And it's all part of the series of living together with the saints we know, here below, on earth. And I want to begin by rereading the reading we had, which is I'm going to read from a paraphrase, because I just want you to get that reading fixed in your mind, and you can look it up for yourself in Philippians chapter 2, if you so wish, verses 1 through to 11. So this is how it's paraphrased. Are you strengthened by your relationship with Christ, and do you find comfort from knowing his love? Do you enjoy fellowship with the Holy Spirit and know his kindness and his deep sympathy? Then make me happy by living in harmony with each other. Have love for each other and be one in spirit and purpose. Never act from motives of selfish ambition or personal pride, but in humility think more of others than you do of yourself. Each of you must not think only of your own affairs, but be concerned about the interests of others. That is, be other-centered, not self-centered. Christ is your example. His attitude should be your attitude. Even though he possessed all the qualities that make God God, he did not cling to the status that was rightfully his. Of his own free will, he stripped himself of all privileges by consenting to be a slave, by becoming human. Becoming human, he humbled himself still further by carrying his obedience to death, even death, as a common criminal on the cross. And because of this, God has placed him on the highest place and given him a name that is above all other names. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, earth, or under the earth will bow, and every tongue will openly proclaim that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, over the centuries, scholars have studied our reading from Philippians and marveled at its profoundness. And the more you think about it, the deeper the mystery. Who can plumb its depths or exhaust its meaning? This reading sets Christianity apart, unique, unmatched, proving conclusively that it could never have been dreamed up, even by the most brilliant of minds. Now, all cultures know about deity. Whoops, where's my PowerPoint gone? Have I taken the wrong one off?
I do. You'll fix it.
All cultures and cultural groups know about deity, but servant deity, impossible. Servants and deity together, totally out of place. Deity is served, not a servant. Gods are to be obeyed, not obedient. They are exalted, not humbled. However, this passage is not just a magnificent theological statement, it is also practical. It describes Jesus' motives and attitudes and shows us what our motives and attitudes are to be. The way Jesus related to his Father is the same way we are to relate. In what Paul wrote, we find the secret of healthy relationships. And the key word is humility. True humility thinks rightly and truthfully about yourself and doesn't devalue yourself. Two things there. You think rightly and truthfully about yourself, but it doesn't put yourself down, which we very much want to do at times. Consider the relationship words that Paul uses. Being like-minded, having love, being one, not only looking after the interest, your own interests, but the interests of others. Paul says, this is what I want you to do. If you really know the love of Jesus and the fellowship of the Spirit, then this will be the result, healthy relationships. Paul's longing for unity between Christians, and it mirrors that of Jesus. Paul's passion is the same as Jesus' passion. In the same way that Jesus linked us to his Father in John 17, So Paul now links us to Jesus and says, if you are going to have right relationships, you must have the same attitude as Jesus had. So how are we to have these healthy relationships achieved? What is the key? It is very clear they come through humility, through being other-centered, and through serving. Jesus is our example. He did not seek to grasp what was rightfully his or to hold on to status and position. He knew who he was and humbly laid it aside. This is where the devil got it wrong. He was taken up with pride and tried to grasp something that was not his. He wanted to be like God. Adam and Eve got it wrong. They wanted to be like God, knowing good from evil. But Jesus, now he let go of what was rightfully his. He became a humble, obedient servant. And that is what humility is. Obedience. To voluntarily place one's life under the control of another and obey what they say. Think about the steps Jesus took. As God, he became human. As a human, he becomes a servant. As a servant, he becomes a slave. And as a slave, he dies. All humble steps of obedience to his Father. So these two words, humility and servanthood, are necessary for healthy relationships. They are not popular words, but they are biblical words, Jesus' words, and he intends that we apply them. He said in Matthew 11, "Weary and burdened? Then learn from me. Take my yoke, be linked to me, do it my way, and gentleness and humility will bring you rest." Think of all that nervous energy, that nervous emotional energy that we use, perhaps fighting for our rights, attempting to climb some ladder of success or get it over somebody else, trying to create an impression, striving to attain position, handling the pressures of competitiveness, or seeking to dominate or control a relationship. I'm sure there's nobody here who tries doing that. Jesus offers us rest. It's only as we link our life with his that we gain such rest. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave." Just as the Father, a Son of Man did not come to be a served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. Being a servant is the way of the kingdom of God. This was not how society saw it in Jesus' day. Servants were at the bottom of the pecking order. Neither is it the view of our society. But then the values of the kingdom of God are often in sharp contrast to the values of the world. One of Jesus' most astonishing and humbling servant activities was to wash his disciples' feet. Problem is, we hear that and we say, well, that's no big deal, is it? It was in his setting. We read, "Knowing that he had come from God and was returning to God, he took the towel." He knew who he was. He came from God. He was returning to God. No inflated opinion of himself, but neither did he put himself down. This humility enabled him to take a towel and wash his disciples' feet. In this act, he was also making a statement about youth and women. Only girl slaves wash people's feet. Why? Because it was the lowest of the lowest job. Just think of all the social mores that that contained. And by this one act, he modelled the path to successful relationships of servanthood, but also gave dignity to that job, and so thereby dignity to women and youth. Show me a relationship problem, and I will show you that somewhere there is a lack of humility. Show me a relationship problem, and I will show you people who have not learnt how to serve each other. Show me a relationship problem, and somewhere you will find pride raising its head. Show me a relationship problem, and I will show you rights being emphasized rather than responsibilities. Biblical humility means thinking truthfully about yourselves, It means being able to lay aside what is rightfully ours and having a sane assessment of our gifts and abilities. It's about being obedient and thinking of others as better than ourselves. Biblically, humility means accepting my responsibilities. Being on the level. Not elevating or comparing ourselves. It means laying down our lives and setting aside self-interest. It means discarding independence and individualism and rejecting status. God constantly comes alongside the humble, responds quickly and blesses acts of humility. Pride becoming before a fall is well documented in history, rather painfully at times. Well, a story, I think it's probably a fable, but who's the guy, who the old fella?
Aesop,
whatever it is, I think it's one of his. Anyway, in a certain pond on a farm were two ducks and a turtle. These neighbours were the best of friends. All day long they played together. As the hot summer days came, the pond began to dry up, and soon there was so little water left that they all realised that they had to move. The ducks could easily fly to another place, but what about their friend the turtle? So finally, now listen to this, the ducks decided that they would hold a stick in their bills and that the turtle could hang on to the stick in its mouth. And they would fly to another pond. Really quite genius, isn't it? And this is what they did. And as they were flying along, a farmer out in the field looked up and saw them and said, "Well, isn't that a clever idea? I wonder who thought of it." To which the turtle replied, "I did," splat. Humility always brings God's grace and blessing. A humble heart. But please don't be a Uriah Heep. "I'm your humble servant." It just about makes me skin crawl just reading it. So humility always brings God's grace and blessing. The public acknowledgement of mistakes is a humbling step to take and not easy, but always brings God's response. And I've had a few people after 9 o'clock ask me to send the sermon to Parliament. I have no idea what they're talking about. Thomas Brown said this: success and humility make good partners in your life. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, sometimes we can be quite easily convinced that, you know, it's about power and control to attain success. But humility and success make good partners in your life. Allow them to complement each other, he says. It's really the example that Jesus set us. It's worth embracing for the good of healthy relations. Father, we thank you that you just love us so much, and it is your heart that we be humble, that we be obedient, that we seek to do all that which is right and true for the blessing of your name. Father, keep us faithful, and keep us thinking what we can do for the highest good of others. Help us to have a sane assessment of ourselves. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who showed us what a humble servant attitude can be like. And so we pray it in his name. Amen.